It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of May. Lots and lots of news and seemingly good news about the return of the NBA. NBA rank on ESPN's lots of fun and leads to some fun debates. And we'll continue our What If series. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Use the promo code Locked On at BuiltBar.com. Get $10 off your first box. There's a heavy rumor going on that not only are Built Bars great regularly, but when frozen are even better. I just threw my chocolate mousse cream and my mint chocolate cream into the freezer to see if that's actually true. That's the rumor that's out there. All right, so Thursdays we usually do live shows. I'm not sure tomorrow I'm going to be able to do a live show. Might try to sneak it in somehow on Friday. I'm actually heading down to St. George. My daughter's got a golf tournament, so I'm not quite sure how. If we do a live show tomorrow, it'd be like it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and that doesn't seem like a high likelihood of having a lot of people tune in. All right, there is a ton of news again every day. I hope that you like the way we're doing the show right now. We're kind of opening every day with what the news is, and there just is a lot of sports news on coronavirus each and every day. And then we get into our fun little topics. We'll do the ESPN rank today, and we'll do our what if. All right, so Adam Silver held a Board of Governors call yesterday. Sounded pretty optimistic about things. I've been optimistic this entire time. There are two keys to everything I've said. One is testing, and two is what we're doing if somebody tests positive. And Silver's message was like, players have got to be, and everyone's got to be prepared for a positive test. The question everyone's asking is, what happens if that positive test is Giannis Antetokounmpo or LeBron James and they feel fine and they want to play? And I think it's, you know, PGA Tour is, a lot of other leagues are setting the market right now, or at least setting how it's going to play out. The PGA Tour, which I'll get into in a little bit because that's also a lot of the news. If you test positive, you're self-isolating for 10 days. So I think it's going to turn out that if one of the elite players in the league gets this, it's like a sprained ankle. Now, what's interesting for the Jazz is if, in fact, you can't get it twice, our two best players have already had it. It's not the way you're not rooting for people to go get coronavirus, but it's an interesting aspect that, you know, if you have a case where someone gets it and then you end up with it being two or three pretty good players on a team and they're all out for 10 days could very, very well sway the way the playoffs go. That's where the asterisk that everyone's asking about. I think that's where the asterisk comes in, is if suddenly there's a significant outbreak on one team or a few teams or, you know, two or three players on a team, then that gets a little funky. In addition, yesterday, players group kind of got together to talk. They all want to come back. So that's good news. So basically where we sit is a July, I mean, really all the things we've talked about on Locked On Jazz, not like we've kind of tried to parse the news and it's turning out we may have done a pretty good job. I think it stems back to what I've talked about this whole time. We're going to start the 2021 season in December. So you can start to back this thing up. Well, he said Adam Silver expected a decision the next 2 to 4 weeks. I think one of the things you're watching to see is whether or not we have the world has opened up a little bit. We've opened up movement. We've opened up things. We've tried to still hopefully socially distance, but are we going to see a spike nationwide in the next 2 weeks? I've read the articles, Georgia and Florida are not spiking right now. It's irrelevant. Like, you got to wait for 2 weeks to be able to make that decision of whether or not us reopening up activity and ending quarantines and ending stay at homes is having an impact. We're not going to know for 2 weeks. So if we get good news in 2 to 4 weeks, I think you'll see that, you know, they're playing in campus environments is what Adam Silver called it in the call, according to the various reports in, I think likely Vegas and in, Orlando. I think you probably do two different sites. It sounds like we'll try to finish a bunch of regular season games. Without travel, maybe it's easier to do some of these things and get more games in. It's pretty exciting, though. I mean, this is good news. This is good news. We're sitting here on May 13th. I don't know that we play a game for 2 months. I think we still got a ways to go. There's a lot of things that could derail it between now and then, but there's a lot of things that get better, and the key is testing. The key is having the testing available to get done. So let's go to the PGA Tour because they released their plan, and they're going to start first. So players and caddies all have to be tested. They're going to have 1,100 people that they're calling essential on-site. 400 are going to be subject to tests. Players and caddies get tested. They have no access to on-site facilities. They can practice, but until they test, until their test comes back negative. No family on-site. Limited support personnel. Restricted movement in a city. I talked about this earlier. I don't know that we get to the point where we're playing in home arenas for the playoffs, but I could see it. Because I do think if you put us on a charter plane, put us on a bus, put us into our hotel, and tell us we can't leave in a hotel, and that we can't leave the hotel, and that we're playing, you know, the dinners or everything's going to be catered to you inside the hotel, you get back on the bus, you go to the arena, you can control contacts. And then you're probably playing in, you know, not in front of fans. You know, this was the scenario I actually had where I was getting aggressive and thought maybe you could have a reduced crowd, 1,000, 2,000 people in there. But that sounds like we're not ready to push that envelope quite yet as a league. PGA Tour is playing the first four events without fans. There'll be a new test for each event. They are hoping to have a designated hotel, but they've gotten loose on that. If you're staying at your own house, that's okay. There are some rental properties they're going to say is okay, so that sounds like they're kind of loosening on that one. In-restaurant local dining is prohibited for the PGA Tour players and caddies. They'll have a charter flight in between events. This is kind of what I talked about a few weeks ago. Interesting note, players have to remove their own clubs from the caddy bag. They don't want caddies touching the clubs. They're trying to avoid that contacts. They're expected to have about 40 media members at each event. And if a player tests positive, then they have 10 days of self-isolation. Pretty interesting. It's all new, right? I keep saying this every day. Like, I find it fascinating. I find it really, really interesting to see how we're going to do this. The big story, though, is three pieces of news. Sinclair CEO the other day on their investment call, making the comp and earnings call, saying that he expects the NHL and the NBA to reach their minimum games. Big. Major League Baseball moving forward like they did. Now they're going to get into a huge labor dispute and it's going to be a mess. PGA Tour moving forward. Big. Adam Silver basically kind of is in a call Friday with the players and a call with the owners laying it out. We don't have a perfect answer. You're going to have to be ready for positive tests. We're going to have the testing, and we're moving forward. Pretty exciting. We're heading in the right direction. We're heading in the direction of getting sports back, getting our, whatever our, I don't like the phrase normalcy because you know what? We're going through a major event that's different. So whatever our new existence is, we're heading that direction. And then there's all sorts of questions, right? All sorts of questions. Like, you know, 72-year-old assistant coach, what are they doing? Popovich is older. You know, what are we doing about high-risk individuals? You know, the contagion on this is higher than, you know, H1N1, higher than SARS, higher than Ebola. I guess SARS and H1N1 are probably the same. But not crazy, right? Like, I mean, the Jazz are a good example. Two people on our whole team while flying together for a while. Got it. So it's not crazy. One other interesting note is how to bring back advertising money. We'll touch on that, hit on ESPN's list, and play a little fun with draft what if. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. I just told you earlier, the rumor on the street is Freeze 'em. The new cookie dough is back. Built Bars are made with dark chocolate. They are the best tasting protein bar you can find. They're healthy. Great tasting. They changed the world away from the day and age of when we had the protein bar that's chalky and you had to have the bottle of water with you and you chewed on it forever. Nope. Now you got mint brownie delight and double chocolate mousse and coconut chocolate cream. And I actually was surprised how good the orange chocolate cream was the other day. It's like a kid in a protein store instead of a candy store. You can order a box, build your own box, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get $10 off, and you get a, or you get a mixed box, do whatever you want, get your first box with $10 off with the promo code LOCKEDON. Calories, instead of 250 on a Clif Bar, you get 110. Instead of 38 grams of carbs, you get 5. Instead of 21 sugar grams, you get 4. Great tasting, super health. It's Built Bar. Today's show is also brought to you by InterCap Lending. Steve Carter and our friends over at InterCap Lending do just such terrific work. We couldn't be more appreciative of what they've done for our community, as well as what they have done as a member of the Locked On Jazz community. Just super, super work. Steve Carter, the reviews I get on Steve Carter kind of make my day when anybody ever uses Steve Carter, because they come back and every time someone's like, I cannot believe how good he was. Well, that's what my reaction was when I went to Steve Carter the very first time and used InterCap Lending. And then it just keeps going and going and gets better and better. And it's just amazing. And that's what has been so super about working with InterCap. Not only to see their growth and all their success and their you know, their growth backs up what I'm talking about, but it's when Tom Ferguson says, I heard about InterCap on a podcast, so I gave them a try. We went to refinance. Our situation was a little more complicated because we're a small business owner. Steve Carter was amazing to work with. Always super polite, extra communicative, let us know exactly what's going on. Would certainly recommend him. When Ben Crosby, Steve and the team at InterCap were excellent. Feedback was timely and the process was smooth. The rate was much better than others I expected. Quinton Burroughs, InterCap Lending was the best service. Everyone I worked with from start to finish was the best service. They explained everything to me, answered any questions I had, worked with Steve Carter was awesome. Wendy helped me as well. Chad Rogers, awesome experience all the way through. Those are the things that make InterCap so great. Steve Carter's our personal loan officer. So when you call InterCap Lending, you want to make sure you mention that you are with Locked On so that you can get the Locked On corporate discount. Call Steve at 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. How do we maintain advertising rates when there's no fans in the building? One of the things they're looking into is the LED light, ribbon lights that usually run around the arenas and the big signs in the billboard that, or in the arena that people pay for. How do we superimpose those on seats so that when you're watching the game on television, that advertiser still gets their mentions? All right, so the NBA rank on ESPN is out. It's really well done. They did the 74 players for 74 years. They did a good job. Top 10's hard to quibble with. Jordan's one, LeBron's two. LeBron wins the title this year, you start to wonder. Kareem's three. Bill Russell's four. Russell's always hard to figure out, like, 22 rebounds a game is not a translatable number, but 11 titles in 13 years is not translatable either. It's pretty hard to figure out. So, fine, four. Magic's five. Yeah, certainly. Revolutionized the game. Unbelievable. Right. Magic's five. Chamberlain's six. Okay, you're going to put him behind Russell because of the titles? Got it. Larry Bird's seven, so you get a great Magic-Larry debate? Probably right. Larry was great. I think Larry might be the player that's most forgotten and how great he is. Tim Duncan's eight. I love it. I love Tim Duncan right next to Larry Bird. I think they're kind of, they've got some similarities to him. Duncan's got the greatest winning percentage ever. I think he's top 10. Kobe's nine. Probably. Have a hard time complaining on that one. The only one I might add that I might put ahead of Kobe that they didn't is Shaq and Olajuwon to me. Shaq versus Kobe is an interesting debate. Shaq won a title in LA and Miami. Kobe won his titles, right? Shaq had all of his, you know, but Shaq was truly the most dominant force player, like, in the history of the game. Like, his size was just so outrageous. So you can debate that, but it's really well done. Oscar Robertson, 11. Okay. And Hakeem, 12. And so I'm saying that, you know, and then I think the most interesting on all this is Steph at 13. He's entirely changed the game. He was on the greatest team of all time. He's got three titles. He's got two MVPs. I might start considering whether or not, and over time, he might have Steph into that range. I mean, Kobe is an icon, and now we're talking as a basketball player. Are you going to put Steph above Kobe? Does Steph go above Oscar? Tim Duncan. Hakeem Olajuwon's interesting. Durant, 14. Durant ahead of Steph. This gets really interesting. Dr. J, 15. They just did a great job. Jerry West, 16. Karl Malone, 17. So top 20 on Locked On NBA. The other day, I debated like how many players. See, I think this is interesting. How many players from the Jordan era are top 20? And the answer is two. So for all it's, we think back about that as like the era of the game, but in Jordan's competition, he only has Malone and Olajuwon as players that are top 20 all time. Does that yield? Is that partially because Jordan was so dominant that we're not willing to put these other players in that listing? Or did Jordan actually play in an era of the game where basketball didn't have the greatest athletes in the world? And I think there's a legitimate argument to that. So if you think about the delay factor on things, so Magic and Larry changed the game in 79, and the game becomes popular in 83, 84, those kids are not, they didn't make it to the league yet. Like the Jordan era that we're watching now, which was then created by the Kobe era, and now we're in the greatest, and LeBron, the greatest athletes in the world are all, none of them are playing baseball anymore. They're all playing, if they've got the size, they're all playing basketball. And they're not playing football, they're playing basketball. So, you have the greatest, that's not the era that Jordan was in. Jordan wasn't in the same, right? Because if you go back and think about Jordan as, so, you know, finally, I would say, if you think about the Magic and Larry era of the 80s, so you get the 10-year-old kid in the 80s, he's the 20-year-old kid in the mid-90s. So it's not until Jordan's end of his era that those guys start to pop up, and that's Kobe. And that's the next generation of Kobe's players. And interestingly, that's Olajuwon. That's the world game, like the 92 Olympics. Now you have a guy like Olajuwon playing. I mean, if you think about the Kobe Shaq era, and maybe our lists are getting favorable, but all right, so in that era of, there's the Magic and Larry are in the top 20. And there's not really another player that it's coming up that I'm, unless I'm going to miss one and mention it, I'll correct, but I don't think there's one that we're missing that's also in the top 20. Then in the Jordan era, there's three. And then the next era of players is probably what we're going to call Kobe generation, and then LeBron's the next. So you have LeBron and Steph currently. But the next generation of players, you have Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, then I don't know where you put Kevin Durant. Dr. J's probably in that Larry Magic era. So I forgot one. The Mailman. So it's interesting. Dirk Nowitzki then is in the international level with Hakeem. It's kind of interesting to see how the pieces are. Kevin Garnett's the next one. Kevin Garnett, 7 feet tall, this incredible body, playing this incredibly different game. You know, that's truly a different game. So you're seeing kind of how this spaces out. Garnett at 20 is hard for me because I think he was on such a bad team in Minnesota that we never got to find out what he really was. Dirk at 19, just great score. Moses Malone at 18. And Karl Malone at 17. The next grouping they had is Pippen at 21. Elgin Baylor, 22. Barkley, 23. David Robinson, 24. Kawhi Leonard, 25. Wow. Dwayne Wade, 26. Giannis, 27 and rising. Stockton, 28. Iverson, 29. Great debate to be had there. Steve Nash, 30. Great debate to have there. Isaiah Thomas, 31. Amazing debate to have. We'll do it tomorrow. Harden at 32. I'd have Harden much higher on this list. I would have Harden. I just really think he's the greatest scorer the game's ever seen. You know, doesn't have a finals appearance because he's running to Steph. But really, if ESPN did a nice job on this, I don't think there's Chris Paul. I find it interesting one to rank. 41 through 71, I thought was interesting on kind of who stayed in the list. Russell Westbrook at 42 of the modern players. Anthony Davis at 45. Dominique and George Gervin, these incredible scorers of that era at 46 and 47. Worthy, McGrady, kind of the same. Peyton at 53. Vince Carter, Ray Allen, Clyde Drexler, Manu Ginobili in the top 60 all time. Bob McAdoo, Willis Reed. Some interesting, I thought they did a nice job with this. Interesting one, Pau Gasol at 65 all time. Thought that was high. But maybe the resume backs it up. Tony Parker at 70, I would have been, if you told me those two were going to be on the all-time list, I wouldn't have bought it. Dame making 72 all-time. Pretty interesting. Well done. A lot of fun with that. I'm at the store, and I noticed that the store had a little Aggie ice cream the other day. You know what? You can't actually get Aggie ice cream, Utah State Aggie ice cream, anywhere else other than like at Utah State. That's right. So if you want a little extra ice cream during your quarantine, doing your extra workouts, I'm getting to the gym more, watching reruns of older games. Aggie ice cream made at Utah State. They have it at the store. It's the only place in the valley you can get it at the store. A lot of fun things going on at the store right now. It's located 600 South and 20th East, also located right downtown in the Gateway. Pulp cold pressed juice. If you had, this is what's so great about the store. I mean, not only like do you go to the store and you see the high school kids helping the older people out with their bags and they're wearing their masks. They're doing all the things you're supposed to do right now. I've joked about DJ Bowler Jack. He used to be there when he was at Brighton High School, I think it was. And he's working there and helping people out. Like, this has been the community store. Like, there's just not that texture, that feel of community that we, you know, that's what makes it so special. And they help the local company. So Pulp Cold Pressed Juice is a local company. Utah State Aggie Ice Cream, local company. These are the, you know, they're, it's Utah's own. Like, really, the irony is Utah's local company is the store, right? They're not some mass grocery store with a million different places. There's two of them, 600 South, 20th East, and the Gateway. It's Utah's own. It's the store. So Cold Pressed Juices, you can buy one, get one 50% off deal right now. It's a local company. They use freshest fruits, vegetables, great organic, nutritious juices. They're great. So they're the only company in the nation, by the way, that use their bottling made out of corn. So it's 100% biodegradable. Tip of the hat for all their work on that. They've got some great flavors going on right now. So if you stop by the store, make sure you take advantage of their, buy one, get one free. Utah State Aggie ice cream, the great meats in the back. If you're at the 600 South 20th East, you turn right, you got the bakery to the right, you walk on the way back, you get the freezers, and then you go over and they got the hot foods there and you got your pot pies, your enchiladas, lasagnas that are made for you if you want to bring them home. It's all great. It's at the store. 600 South, 20th East, also located the Gateway. And did I mention, they also have the greatest chocolate cookie of all time. The Mudslide Cookie at the store. I love draft what ifs. And that's what I wanted to look at today in our what if series. If you look at the Utah Jazz draft history, it's pretty good. Right? We can all play the game and say, oh, what if on this day we got Tony Parker instead of Raul Lopez? Okay, I got it. Like, we can do that too. But on the other end, let's go back through our heyday because it's pretty interesting. Scott Layden really did a pretty unbelievable job. So if we kind of, you look back, like, did we ever miss the piece to the puzzle? So in the 1990 draft, we didn't have a first round pick. We drafted Walter Pallman in the second round. Great. Who cares? 91, we drafted Eric Murdoch with the 21st pick of the draft. We actually ended up trading Eric Murdoch later for Jay Humphries. So it's a pretty good value. And Eric Murdoch played 9 years in the league. He played not 508 games. He played 11,000 minutes. The only player, like, shortly thereafter is Rick Fox. Okay? Didn't miss it all, really. Frankly, if you look at that one, like, that's incredible. And got Jay Humphries out of it. That is maximizing a draft pick there by Scott Lane. Perfectly done. I think Scott was in charge at this point. 93 is our miss. 92, we didn't have a pick. 93, we have the 18th pick of the draft. We get suckered. We get told a bunch of false information by Seton Hall. And we draft Luther Wright. He ends up playing 15. This is the painful one. Irvin Johnson turned out to be pretty good out of New Orleans. 5 picks later, Sam Cassell. Really, we didn't need him. We're not going to draft him. Wouldn't have worked out because of Stockton. Scotty Burrell, who's getting a lot of pub right now, was a few picks later. Chris Mills, who turned out to be an okay player, but not, like, frankly, you know, Windshare wasn't unbelievable. There's actually, what's interesting about that pick is it's not a good, it's a bad pick. It's a miss. Irvin Johnson, who was an okay player, is the player that we should have taken. But, like, A.C. Earl was drafted next, didn't pan out. James Robinson was picked right after that, didn't pan out. Scott Borelli played 300. There's only, like, 800, 900 games. Like, there just aren't that many guys that late in the draft. It never, you know, Nick Van Exel went 37th. You're begging at that point. Brian Russell is actually the next best pick, and we took him later in the draft. So it's a miss because we got nothing out of it. And Irvin Johnson probably would have been the pick, but Irvin Johnson wasn't, like, unbelievable either. But that's the miss. What's so interesting about this what if is that there just aren't that many misses. When you're drafting late in the draft and you know, 94, we don't have a first round pick. We use our first round picks to get players. 95, we draft Ostertag with a 28th pick. It's an unbelievable pick. Ostertag played 14,000 NBA minutes. The next picks played 4,400, 500, 400, 400, 9,000. 800, 1,879, didn't play in the league, 900. Ostertag's one of the best picks for the position you'll get in draft history. In fact, Ostertag goes 28. Travis Best went 23rd. He played more minutes. And then Michael Finley was one of the great picks of all time at 21, played nearly 40,000 NBA minutes by Phoenix. But actually, after the 18th pick of the draft, only two players played more minutes than Ostertag in the first round. So for all the ups and downs about Ostertag, 28th pick of the draft, like, there's no what if there. Like, it's incredible to go back through these drafts and see how few what ifs there actually are in this period of time. 96, the Jazz snare Shandon Anderson in the second round in a great pick. They draft a crazy European guy, Martin Mursep, in the first round. I think because we didn't have any room on our cap and we didn't like any of the players on the board. And again, we were generally right. Like, Othella Harrington turned out to be the best pick. Derek Fisher went the pick before. He would have been perfect. Derek Fisher with Hornacek and Stockton would have been amazing. There's actually Travis Knight gets drafted. Like, there's actually, Othella Harrington would have been a backup to Malone. I mean, we didn't really need it. And then, if you actually go back through that draft on Martin Mursep, the second round of that draft, of the first 10 picks of the second round, 6 of them never play in the league. One of them plays 35 games. And if you back it out to the top 12 picks, only 8 of the top 11 picks of that second round don't even play 40 games in the NBA. So even, like, hey, we punted the pick, that was absolutely the right move in that era. And then somehow, out of nowhere, we get Shandon Anderson with a 54th pick who plays 15,000 NBA minutes, almost 16,000. And in that draft, Shandon Anderson played the 16th most amount of minutes of anyone in that draft. Tip of the hat to, like, this era. We just didn't miss. You can, like, start. Then the next year, 97, so this is all, like, up to the title, trying to win the title, we draft Jock Vaughn. And again, 27th pick of the draft. He plays 12,000 minutes. There's only Anthony Johnson gets drafted later, plays 15, Steven Jackson, who we wouldn't have taken because of his issues. Otherwise, there's only, like, nobody else plays more minutes. We didn't miss there. 12 years in the league. The next pick was Keith Booth. The next two guys didn't play in the league. Charles O'Bannon played 48 games. James Cotton played 19. Marco Milic played 44. Bubba Wells played 39. K-Boo Stewart played 15. And James Collins played 23. Like, it's incredible. So, like, when you look at the Jazz championship run to the Western Conference Finals and them trying to make it through the league, and you look back, what if on draft picks, there's really not any what ifs on draft picks in that era. It's also kind of a great lesson of, like, trade the first round pick and go get your player. 98, we traded Jeff Hornacek to get Jeff Hornacek. That pick becomes Nazi Muhammad with the 20th pick. Was a great job by Philadelphia. Nazi Muhammad played 16,000 minutes in the league, changed his body. It was great, but that wasn't going to help us any. And then in 99, we draft Karolinko, which starts the whole next year of the Jazz in an incredible pick with a 24th pick. We can run through 2000 through 2010 later in the week, kind of on draft picks of what ifs and things like that. It's fun to do, but that's just a great tribute to that era where they didn't miss it all. That's today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Hollinger and Duncan had a great fun with the most overrated and underrated players of all time. And it's a great show. So make sure you tell your smart device to play podcast Hollinger and Duncan.